are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for, I guess, Saturday, November 22nd. And I got some breaking news as we talk here. It's been an unbelievable night. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Matt Shook, and with me, as he does every time we put up a Friday night emergency podcast, Saturdays with Brian. Brian Shook, what's going on, man?
Man, one for one on these Friday night, late night emergency podcasts. Well, it's fun to have a relevant basketball team again. It may not be for what they're doing on the court. It may not be for, you know, any of the players. It may be because the GM's buying like he's drunk on Amazon at this point. But it's fun, and it's been a fun night monitoring Twitter. So let's get back into it and figure out where we're at as a team.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping it's 10:57 p.m. Eastern time right now. I kind of have a sick fascination with some sort of huge move happening right as we're taping, but the big one seems like it already happened, and that's the Pistons signing Jeremy Grant unexpectedly to a 3-year, $60 million deal, one of the more coveted free agents out there on the market this year. And the Pistons, there was a time, now I know that Davis Bertans re-signed with Washington, and Joe Harris re-signed for big money with Brooklyn. So it's not like the Pistons are the only team making moves tonight, but there was a time when the Pistons were basically the only team doing anything in free agency to start this as we started 5 hours ago now.
Yeah, well, it seemed like for every move any other team made in the NBA, the Pistons were making one. So it was one for everybody else, one for the Pistons. It just seemed to be going back and forth like that all night.
And it seemed like the first one for the Pistons, about a half hour after 6 o'clock, was the Mason Plumlee deal. And they had the dollar amounts out there. Everyone was hoping that it was some sort of opt-out deal. And a deal that makes no sense for a rebuilding team to make. And again, if the Jeremy Grant deal didn't happen, if things had cut off tonight at about 9 o'clock and we decided to tape something, I would be yelling and screaming all night long about the Mason Plumlee deal, because given the circumstances of what we thought this team was doing 12 hours ago and that Mason Plumlee deal, 3 years for guaranteed 3 years as Marcus Morris headed back to the Clippers, according to Woj here, not a huge surprise there, but I mean, so much going on. Harrell to the Lakers, unbelievable there with the mid-level exception. But to Plumlee for 3 years, $25 million, again, I would just be screaming about this deal. 4 years, $64 million for Marcus Morris to head back to the Clippers. But all the centers, I mean, it's hard to kind of organize our thoughts. You and I talked before we started recording. But, you know, as we stand here before some of the reports about how these things might kind of shake down, there was a time when we were talking about Blake Griffin being on this team, Mason Plumlee being on this team, Tony Bradley being on this team, Jahlil Okafor being on this team, Mason Plumlee being on this team. I'm sure I'm doubling up some people now at this point. Christian Wood still being out there, possibly coming back to this team. Like 6-7 centers, you know, like a crazy amount. And it became obviously a meme, as it should. And what was your favorite joke that you saw on Twitter tonight about the Pistons and their centers? Or, I mean, was there a time when you thought that, you know, we're going back to 1985 or something like that?
I saw the Pistons have more centers than the Red Wings right now, which I thought was was a great line.
Yeah. So, I mean, in that, you know, even as that was happening, the writing was on the wall. We've known that Dwayne Dedman for some way, somehow is not going to end up on this roster. I believe that Tony Bradley at some point is going to be out the door some way or somehow. But anyway, as it all came down, let's go through it one more time. Mason Plumlee, 3 years, $25 million, all of it guaranteed. I still don't like the deal for a backup center, throwing that kind of money out there. I don't hate it as much, given that this team is going to try to do the rebuild on the fly, apparently. Although maybe it's not a rebuild at all. We're kind of back to that gray area, which I know Pistons fans love, that in-between rebuild and contending, which I'm joking. Of course, nobody loves that. But Jahlil Okafor, 2 years vet minimum, I like that deal a lot. That's a nice little deal for a backup center. Although now, who knows where he is in the center pecking order. Josh Jackson of Detroit, who played at Detroit Consortium for early in his high school years, became like the number one player in the country, was a finalist to go to Michigan State with Tom Izzo, went to prolific prep out in California, and went to Kansas for 1 year. He's got some off the court issues. I've heard some things, you know.
Yeah. I saw somebody had tweeted out that he was, and it's kind of the anniversary of it, the Malice at the Palace, and he threw a water bottle is what mm-hmm. he's claimed apparently at some point.
Yeah, everyone's got to be famous for something. And, and Josh Jackson apparently was part of it. So, you know, got the off-the-court stuff. It didn't go well in Phoenix, the number four pick down there. Obviously, to be, I think, two and done as the number four pick is pretty remarkable in a bad way. Memphis gave him a chance this year, put him down to the G League. And Amari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press, who covered the Memphis Grizzlies for The Athletic last year, will be a good guy to talk to down the line about Josh Jackson. We'll enlist his services here on Locked On Pistons. But it sounds like it went pretty well. But I think, you know, just from talking to basketball people in the Detroit area, the feeling I got when the Michigan State Spartans missed out on getting Josh Jackson to Michigan State was a little bit of a sigh of relief. There was just a lot going on there. And not to say that guys can't change, not to say that guys can't grow up, but it's a little bit of a risk. But that's the kind of move that 12 hours ago would have been the perfect move tonight, and it still could be a good one, but that's the kind of roll the dice on guys. Some are going to work, some are not going to work. So, you know, nice to have the Detroiter back. He's anxious to prove himself. Certainly there will be minutes available in some form. We know that this roster right now is not the roster that they're going to roll out on December 22nd or whatever. But, you know, nice to have that hometown kid. And it's a little bit of that Detroit Pistons story of guy who was written off a little bit, who's trying to kind of build things up now as he goes forward.
Yeah, and it's always nice to see, you know, coming home. His career seems to be on an upswing, maybe get a chance to reacclimate himself. Although what keeps popping in my head is the kind of that danger of coming back to the environment that, you know, kind of seeded that type of behavior and maybe some of those connections that, you know, might not be the best to have. So hopefully he's able to separate himself from whatever that was that started that sort of behavior and show some maturity. And again, this team has a lot of, should we say, good character, high character guys mm-hmm. that can hopefully maybe wrap their arms around him and help him along in that journey.
And Dwayne Casey, that's kind of what his specialty is in a lot of ways. We saw with Christian Wood. I mean, Christian Wood is making $41 million going forward. Mm-hmm. So Dwayne Casey, he should give a nice little tip for Dwayne for the way that he kind of managed him as a man and managed him as a basketball player this past year as well. I've talked hours and hours about how much I appreciate the way that Dwayne Casey carried the Christian Wood saga throughout this past year. And maybe those of you who were all year saying that they needed to give him more minutes in the first two thirds of the season and that he was going to walk because he's pissed about the fact he's not playing more. Maybe you're right. Maybe I was wrong about that. Obviously I think $41 million is the main reason why Christian Wood's going to walk.
Well, I think both can be true, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been some tough love from Dwayne Casey that there's a little bit of ill feelings from Christian Wood too, and maybe part of the reason that he left, like you said, the $41 million is going to trump everything. And it sounds like it was just, you know, somehow out of the Pistons price range in a night where it doesn't seem like anything's out of the Pistons price range, but it seems like it was. But, you know, he could have had given that tough love that did bring him along and help him mature both as a man and as a basketball player, but it could also have rubbed Christian Wood the wrong way. And he's not going to appreciate that until maybe later down the road in his life. If he ever gets to the point where he does.
So it's a nice night weather-wise here in downtown Detroit, and all this is kind of happening. So after the Josh Jackson signing, which I liked from the beginning, the Jahlil Okafor signing, which I liked from the beginning, I went out and took a walk, and I was like, okay, I got to get outside. There's been enough here going on. And that was when I came to the conclusion in my head, and I tweeted about this, that I think Russell Westbrook is the move. I think that the Pistons are – not that I think it's the right move, but the Pistons are – you know, Troy Weaver drafted him in Oklahoma City and was a part of his big success there in Oklahoma. And then Arne Tellem is his former agent. There's a lot of ties here with Russell Westbrook. The weird draft night trade for Trevor Ariza that has not been completed yet. We have not heard anything about this. Then we get word that – Christian Wood has signed a 3-year, originally $27 million deal for $9 million a year. That doesn't sound quite right. what's going on there, and then it's rescinded for some reason. So obviously there's something still being worked out. We know that from the reporting that at that point we knew that Dwayne Dedman is probably going to be shipped out at some point. We know that Derrick Rose is tradable. And then, you know, Blake Griffin's out there, of course. There's no reason to believe that Blake Griffin will definitely be here these next 2 years. So in my mind, I'm connecting the dots and I'm thinking, yeah, it's going to be a complicated deal. It's probably not going to happen tonight. But I think that there's a really good chance. I was like over 90% that Russell Westbrook is going to get traded to the Detroit Pistons. And B, not only that, but there might be a way that this happens where Blake doesn't have to be part of the deal. If you throw, and again, I'm doing this math in my head. I don't have any piece of paper. I'm not even looking up the contracts, just kind of doing it from memory. Dwayne Dedman, $13 million. Derrick Rose, $7 million. Whatever Christian Wood agrees to, probably something like $12 million. So now you're already up to over $30 million. You got to get to $40 million. Maybe that's where you sugar it with maybe Svi Mykhailiuk or Sekou Doumbouya and give – that sweetening. Maybe you don't have to trade that protected first that you traded on draft night. Maybe they send back a late first if they have any, or a second or something like that. So to me, maybe Trevor Ariza isn't involved in the deal at the end of the day. Maybe it's a three-way. Maybe James Harden gets moved to Brooklyn in this deal somehow, and it's a three-way deal of all these things happening. So that was kind of where my mind was, and I was like, okay, I'm going to walk back. We're going to get Brian on the horn. And we're going to do this whole podcast about how I'm over 90% in my brain. And we don't take crazy rumors here on the Locked On Pistons podcasts and chase downloads by throwing out these ridiculous things to put, you know, strange, crazy trade rumors in podcast titles. But I honestly thought, and I still think it's possible, by the way, but I honestly thought for a second there that Russell Westbrook was headed to Detroit. And I was like, ready to make that prediction here on the podcast.
Well, like you said, it may still happen. And what I also had the same feeling, it was shortly after you had kind of maybe probably put it in my head, but when they announced the original Christian Wood deal at the $9 million a year, and then, you know, we had a couple sources that had rescinded that call, I guess. And that's when it started going like, oh, something big is happening right now. These guys are talking about something. And, you know, they kind of matched up, you know, Blake and Wood at that number. Matt was in the neighborhood of Ariza and Rose. So it just kind of matched. It seemed like it would, you know, work out pretty easily with just those four players. So that's what I felt was going to happen. And then I also, with, you know, kind of hearing what everything that's going down in Houston, also, you know, was wondering about if it was going to be the Rockets saying screw you to James Harden for, you know, kind of holding the franchise hostage and trying to get out of there, if they're going to ship him off to Detroit as kind of a one last middle finger on your way out of town. But, you know, those things haven't happened yet. It appears that there's other avenues that it might not happen, but, you know, we can hold out hope and see if Troy Weaver drops another bomb on us here in the next couple hours or days.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I'm less bullish on James Harden ending up here. I just think that James Harden's an MVP candidate and in the prime of his career and an asset that the Pistons don't have the assets to match. Whereas Russell Westbrook, you can make an argument that he's a negative contract and that it makes sense for Blake Griffin to trade, go one-on-one. And like I said, there's a package you could possibly put together that doesn't even have Blake Griffin into it. Then you're talking about a big luxury tax team, which is fine. But everything kind of changed as I get to Greektown and I see that my alert pops up that Jeremy Grant, the one of the more coveted free agents here in this offseason, is headed to Detroit on a 3-year, $60 million deal, which in my mind changed the course of this whole offseason. And honestly, before this is 45 minutes before this, I was down by the riverfront. I made the realization, oh, the Mason Plumlee deal is so dumb and so bad for a rebuilding team that this is not a rebuilding team. Something's going to happen. So that was me like being like, I went from 85% on the Westbrook deal to 93% on the Westbrook deal. I was like, they are making this deal. But again, the Jeremy Grant deal comes in, 3 years, $60 million. So now, as we sit here at 11:11 p.m. on Friday night, I'm back down to like 27% chance of the Russell Westbrook deal. I'm kind of off it right now. But Jeremy Grant coming to Detroit, one of the more coveted free agents this offseason. I like Jeremy Grant. I've liked him a lot. I liked him. I didn't know much about him during the tanking Philadelphia deal days. But Troy Weaver involved in the Oklahoma City front office that brings him over. He becomes a starter. I think he kind of rose to prominence after Roberson got hurt. He was kind of one of the best defensive players in the NBA. He gets hurt at Little Caesars Arena for the last game of his career, it looks like now at this point. But Jeremy Grant steps in, gets more of those minutes, and becomes one of the, you know, underrated, under the radar, very good two-way players. But Oklahoma City obviously looking more towards the future, bringing in SGA, trading away Paul George and whatever they did. So he became an expendable asset where they could fetch something for him. So he moves over to Denver. They trade him for the first round pick that I believe ended up being Emmanuel Quickley this year, if I'm not mistaken. That one moved around a little bit there, but traded for a first and then goes out to Denver and has a predictably solid season with the Denver Nuggets, mostly coming off the bench. But then, as we talked about before we started taping, becomes a bit of a revelation during the bubble, with a lot of people looking at this Denver Nuggets squad, with that team, you know, basically becoming the darlings of the NBA for a little while, coming back from 2-3-1 deficits, one from Utah, one against the LA Clippers, defending some of the best players in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, being involved in the Donovan Mitchell, Jamal Murray shootout that was going on in the first round. And then with the Lakers, made that series, getting the win in game three, not getting swept by the Lakers, and becoming that reliable third scorer for a short period in the playoffs with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic doing their thing, but scoring 26 points in game three, a win, and then 17 in game four, 20 points in game five. So how much money did Jeremy Grant make in those 2 weeks of that playoff run, especially those three games, which ends up being a five-game series loss to the LA Lakers? I like Jeremy Grant a lot. I'm glad he's a member of the Detroit Pistons, but this just seems like the highest of buy that you could possibly make in terms of assets and asset management and when to pull the trigger on these types of moves.
Yeah, he probably made about $8 million in that, you know, 3 or 4 week span there, where he became the legitimate third, you know, third scoring threat for a team that made the Western Conference Finals. So everything I'm reading on Twitter tonight says that the Nuggets were willing to match the Pistons' deal for him at the 3 for $60, except that the Pistons were able to offer him a bigger role in the team's plans. So I don't know if that means something for down the road that they were talking about on the last couple of years of his contract or this year. And that, again, makes me think that there's still some moves in the offering right now, because as the starting lineup shakes out, he's still, the third option probably behind Rose and Griffin in the starting lineup right now. Now, who's to say that he can't grow into more? And, Rose isn't exactly a 35-minute-a-night guy anymore. So, you know, there will be more minutes and probably a more vital role for him in Detroit. But I don't know what that looks like exactly in the short term that Detroit was able to offer him individually that Denver wasn't. So it kind of makes me think that, you know, there is still something in Weaver's mind that's, you know, going to happen before we open up training camp here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and Jeremy Grant made his career kind of blossom as a defensive specialist early on in his career, but it took off in Oklahoma City when he started knocking down shots. And I think that led to more confidence offensively. I mean, he became his last year in Oklahoma City when he really flourished, became a double-digit scorer, got 39% from three this year for Denver, a 39% three-point shooter again. So we got 2 years of his most minutes and his most production. He's become a near 40% three-point shooter, and he's ready to show that bubble performance and that playoff performance is going to and obviously, like you said, becoming the some nights the number one scorer for the Detroit Pistons, because you're going to have to manage Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin's minutes and games and all that too. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. So how do you sign Jeremy Grant? How do you bring in $60 million to this team? Well, the reports right now as we tape this are that Dwayne Dedman is going to get stretched and waived, and Roddy Magruder is going to get stretched and waived. And I don't know, I didn't do the math, but according to John Hollinger and James Edwards also tweeting that it seems like it's going to be about 5 years of dead money when you combine those deals, somewhere between $3.5 and $3.9 million per year of dead money for the next 5 years. So now that we just got done paying Josh Smith $5 million a year for like seven, I don't know how many years it was. It seemed like 20 years. It was probably six, but we just got him off the books, and now we're adding close to $4 million after, I think it was 5.3 for Josh before. It wouldn't be the Detroit Pistons without dead money on the books, and what a tradition to keep alive for Troy Weaver and the Detroit Pistons.
He wanted to inject some Piston DNA into this roster. And like you said, there isn't much more Piston DNA than stretched out contracts for people who hadn't been on the team for almost a decade.
And James reporting as we tape here that part of the deal is that Detroit's going to get more protections on that heavily protected first round pick that it sent to Houston. So that's good news. Obviously, the hope is that that pick gets conveyed at some point, because that means that you are getting – you're becoming good at some point, right? Maybe even next year. Maybe this team sneaks into the playoffs this year. You know, obviously the trajectory of this podcast, the trajectory of this team takes a huge shift. We know that more moves are coming. I still don't see a world where Tony Bradley and Jahlil Okafor and Mason Plumlee end up as all centers, and Isaiah Stewart all on this team. So someone's got to go. Musa, I don't know if he is long for this team as well. He's an asset that could possibly fetch something. You got all the rookies. The guys they just signed, Jackson and Okafor and Plumlee, you can't trade those guys for a few months of service, so they can't be moved right away. But a lot of questions, a lot to sort out, and we knew when we taped this that we're not grading Troy Weaver's offseason. This is a work in progress. We will see what happens here. But, Brian, as the dust settles, as I kind of feel like – I'm not promising anything, but I kind of feel like at 11-18 right now that it's probably done for the night in terms of moves for the Pistons. What do you think about what we've just experienced here, not only in these last, you know, 12 or 6 or so hours, but these last 72 hours or so?
I like it. I'm here for it. It's provided some excitement into a fan base that it was sorely lacking. It's provided a, you know, the fingerprints of Troy Weaver are already all over this franchise. It's a brand new roster, and it's still a work in progress. There's still some stuff that, you know, some albatrosses that are hanging around the neck with some contracts, but also could turn into, you know, some meaningful assets here, you know, in the short term down the road, or maybe in the next offseason. So I think the fact that we're in a situation here in Detroit sports where there isn't much to point to and say, that's exciting. And I think that the Pistons have just kind of shot to the top of the list of, this is a team, yeah, it's in transition, and next year's still most likely not going to be very pretty, but it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. There's a couple of, you know, young pieces that we're going to have a good time hopefully watching grow and mature. There's, you know, still some star power on this team with Blake and Derrick Rose. And, you know, some, you know, a couple people that are knocking on the door of potential stardom, and Jeremy Grant and, you know, hopefully Sekou too, a little bit behind him. So, you know, there's a lot to like about this roster and the direction that it's headed. And that's the big thing, is there's direction, there's excitement, and we can see that Weaver's aggressive. And I always would, as a fan whose job doesn't depend on it, would prefer my GM to be aggressive. If we're not going to win the front page battle during the season, most likely, we may as well win it during the off season until we can get the type of team that can compete against some of the other better teams in the league and start winning the front page of the regular season.
Yeah, certainly it's been exciting these last 72 hours, but I have a feeling, knowing the fan base kind of like I do, I think that the Jeremy Grant turn is probably a disappointing one for this fan base. I think that people were ready for the rebuild. I think people were ready for the Cade Cunningham, Amani Bates, Chet, my boy Chet. I forget his last name. What's Chet's last name? The guy who outplayed.
Oh, from Minnesota?
Funny last name.
It is. It's, oh, man, I don't have it on me right now.
I want to say, like, what's Smithers, like the Simpsons neighbor Smithers.
I want to say it's very Scandinavian.
Yeah, you
know, something anyway. Jorgensen or something.
But if only there was a way to find out. But Chet's coming to the Pistons. No, no. But so Jeremy Grant comes in here. We're rebuilding on the fly once again.
Holmgren.
Holmgren. Chen Holmgren. Yeah, that's right. Probably related to the football coach.
Yeah, right.
But Jeremy Grant, in case you guys don't know, we'll talk about him a lot more down the road. But, you know, his dad was Harvey Grant, the old player, and his uncle was Horace Grant. So a little bit of a DNA there, and his brothers both played in the league too. Of course, Jerry and Grant being the more notable one, although Jeremy Grant has become the big-time one out of this group. Still only 26 years old. He's making more money now than he probably ever thought he would at $20 million a year. But good to have a nice two-way player, a guy that works his ass off, and a guy that's ready to hopefully take his career to the next level. So a lot going on. We anticipate a lot more change, maybe at least some changes coming as well. I just want to throw out the other things that I thought about for why the Westbrook move was happening is that, like we've talked about, there's like no off guard on this team, and there wasn't, and there still kind of isn't. Svi can kind of play that, but he's a little bit more of a small forward. So there's no natural two on this team still. So I'm not crossing off the Russell Westbrook trade as definitely not happening. Like, I could see a world where Blake for Russ and in some other pieces kind of thrown in. I don't know who throws in the stuff at this point, but I still think that's a possibility, especially given the Arne Tellem and the Troy Weaver connection. But I think we'll cut it off for there, unless, Brian, you got anything else to add before we call it a night here and hit the whiskey and maybe get some sleep here?
No, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. We still have a big hole at shooting guard, and weirdly, we still have a big hole at starting center, which is kind of
funny.
We have
a lot of backup centers. And Blake can play some small ball five. So, right. I mean, we've got six or seven centers, but no real center. We've got a bona fide small forward now, a starting level small forward. And Woj just – Keith Smith tweeting that Woj just said he expects, quote, a lot more deals tonight as we record at 11:23. So maybe we'll come with the bonus episode about 1 a.m. once again. But this is the commercial-free episode for you guys as kind of a thank you for spreading the word about the podcast, for showing up for us this week. No commercials, just straight through. James tweeting right now, more like Pistons. I think he's responding to someone, so it's not news. But Jeremy Grant's a Piston. Blake Griffin is still for now a Piston. Derrick Rose is still for now a Piston. The draft picks are still here. Trevor Ariza sounds like he's on the way to Detroit. Rodney Magruder and Dwayne Dedman. Brian's got the performative dance lined up for those guys. Yep. We appreciate that. And that'll do it for us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Matt Shook. He is brother Brian. Thanks again to him for staying up late and for the production work as well. And that'll do it for us until probably Monday morning. Thanks for listening. You guys have a great weekend.
Three more Woj bombs.